Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Turnover chain. Sweeping the nation. Turnover chain. Solo D singing that song right there. Joe Rose off today after the Carolina debacle last night. Troy Stratford sitting in with me today here on the Joe Rose Show. And the Turnover Chain song is on because this would be his wrestling entrance music if he was a wrestler. Matt Porter from the Palm Beach Post joining us this morning. From parts unknown, Matt Porter from the Palm Beach Post. How are you doing this morning? And besides that, I want to just go back to one tweet I saw you send, I think Saturday night, that the press box felt like it was shaking at Hard Rock Stadium. First, how you doing? And second, was it really shaking?
Really well, and of course, man, I don't lie. You could feel it. You could feel it beneath your seat. It was this kind of little rumble. It was this rumble that you just hadn't felt that before. And it's wild. It is wild at Hard Rock Stadium right now.
No, it's fun. I guess it's got to be, you know, fun to cover the team right now because, you know, you've seen a couple of years, you know, the Al Golden days or the Randy Shannon days. You want to go all the way back there. But since Mark Richt has gotten here, it's just felt a little bit different. Last year was a nice season. You know, you saw what could happen and what could be. And this season, I mean, you haven't had to cover a loss this season yet. And now we're potentially talking about the playoffs and the ACC championship game. It's got to be fun to cover this team right now on a daily basis.
It is. And I don't know if it's like, you know, I think about my colleagues that cover, you know, the Dolphins and the Heat and all that. College sports just feel different. You know, they feel less stuffy. You know, there's more kind of wild stories, I think, in college, you know, and you know, college sports has its drawbacks, of course, but when you're covering a team that's got it going, there's really nothing better, I think. And, you know, flashback to before the season, I had pretty high hopes. I mean, I thought this team was going to go 11-1. I looked at the schedule, thought they were going to lose in Tallahassee. You know, obviously, I don't think anybody really expected Florida State to be as bad as they are. But, you know, I thought they would have a pretty good season, but I think – you know, you look at it right now, and it's just so impressive what they've done. I mean, the worst case scenario for Miami right now is the Orange Bowl, which, hey, that's a pretty successful season. I know everybody, you know, has national championship hopes, and they should because Miami looks legit at this point. But you know, that's a pretty good season no matter what happens at this point.
Matt, Troy Stratford here. Wonder if you could take me back 3 weeks ago, and I'm looking for three answers if you can. Where do you think you stood 3 weeks ago pertaining to the Canes, where the fan base stood 3 weeks ago pertaining to the Canes, and where the players thought they stood 3 weeks ago when it comes to the Canes?
I'll take them in order. I was waiting for Miami to put together its best game. You know, I was just thinking, and you're talking about after North Carolina or before North Carolina?
Either way you want to do it. Let's go before.
I mean, before, you know, I was thinking they were going to crush North Carolina because North Carolina is so down.
Stinky.
This year. They're going to be down. They're going to be down anyway before all the injuries. But you know, after the game, I was just thinking, you know, that Miami kind of sleptwalked through that noon game. You know, is on the road. There's just no atmosphere. There's nobody there in the stands. And you know, I was just thinking they can do better than this. They are better than this. I believe that. And it was funny because you know I saw a lot of writers and a lot of media folks up in the triangle there in the press box were just kind of hammering Miami saying, gosh, I can't believe this team's even in the top 10. And I was thinking, you know, I was going to be quiet. I wasn't going to push back on them too hard because I just kind of felt that this team was better than that. Where the fans thought, I mean, the fans were probably, you know, I guess encouraged, but worried for sure, because I think, you know, as as much as fans might have believed in the team at that point, I mean, they were really walking a fine line in October. I mean, they could have lost all those games. They didn't, and that is a credit to the coaching staff for figuring out a plan, for finding a way to win those games. It's a credit to all the players. I mean, you know, you think of all the moments, Malik Rozier to Darryl Langham at Florida State, Malik Rozier to Darryl Langham against Georgia Tech, Chris Herndon's huge day against Syracuse, the way they were able to shut down Syracuse's QB run game, all this stuff. Credit to the fans for showing up and helping them get through it, too. And as far as the players, you know, they really started to believe after Florida State. I mean, that was really the big thing for them because, you know, once you just keep losing and losing and losing in the ways that they've lost to Florida State, to go on the road to their house, you know, at the time, everybody believed that Florida State was still a really good team. So to end that streak, to snap that hex, that was huge for them. And it just started to snowball from there. They said, what we're doing here is working. They believed it anyway, but to see the results was super huge for them. To win all those close games and to do what they've done the last few weeks with all this fan support and all the momentum that's behind them now is just incredible to see.
Matt Porter from the Palm Beach Post joining us now. It's good perspective because Matt has seen this team through the end of kind of the golden era into the Richt era and the changes on the team. One thing that kind of was new to everybody this year, are you surprised by how well Malik Rozier has handled the pressure and played this year? Because there was a lot of pressure. Let's see what Perry could do. Let's see about this. He's the guy who's going to come in. You know, Coach Rick's got to play Perry. Rozier came in, probably not the sexiest pick, but obviously the team's undefeated right now, and he's taking the pressure and doing pretty well with it.
Yeah, it's going to be funny to see as Miami continues to rise, you know, in the polls and, you know, kind of, you know, we saw all the national writers that were there. You know, there are a lot of people around the country that are waking up to this team and kind of just discovering, you know, who the people on this team are. It's going to be interesting to see how they treat Malik Rozier because, you know, I expected him, before the season, I figured he'd make some mistakes. That was just kind of the way that I saw him because, I mean, you go back to his practices last year when we really got to, you know, see him and just so inaccurate. You know, he would miss throws and you could tell that he had talent as a runner. You could tell that he, you know, he's an athlete. He's not a kid out there. He's a confident athlete. But, you know, he just kind of had limitations, especially throwing the ball. And, you know, you never knew how he'd perform under pressure. I had confidence that if any quarterback was going to get out there and not completely stumble, it would be him. Not surprised that he's thrown some picks. But then again, I'm also, you know, not surprised that he's made some plays either. He's, you know, the dual threat that he's offered, that he's given to the Miami offense has been really, really a huge thing for them. I mean, think back to, you know, last game, to name one example, when he's just killing them with those QB runs. I mean, Notre Dame, it just didn't really have an answer for it. And, you know, if he isn't able to do that, then Miami's offense looks a little bit different, especially, you know, you think how important his legs have been with Mark Walton going down. It's kind of, you know, it's been pretty pretty critical. But, I'm interested to see how, you know, if he becomes, because everybody likes to put a lot of attention on the quarterback and write stories on the quarterback and all that stuff. So it'd be interesting to see what they're writing about Malik Rozier in the next few weeks.
Travis Homer had to take over from Mark Walton. Mark Walton was supposed to be the lead dog on this team. What do you think about Travis Homer's play this season after coming in for Mark Walton?
I think he's been good. He runs so hard. You knew he was an athlete. He was a smart kid. Was good enough to handle the role, do very well in the role that they gave him last year on special teams. So, you know, you kind of expected him to, you know, to come along. And I thought he would be a dynamite number two to, Miami's best overall player, really, in Mark Walton. That's a, you know, side note, kind of one of the things that's made this season so special is you tell me Amon Richards is going to be kind of a non-factor in the biggest games because of injuries and stuff. And, you know, whatever he's struggling with, maybe it's confidence, I don't know. But, you know, he was targeted four times in the first half in Miami's biggest game of the year and had no catches. Miami still absolutely dominated. So, you know, and missing Mark Walton as well.
That says a lot.
But, yeah, it really does. And he shows, I mean, when you look at all the true freshmen that have been playing as well and, you know, and the depth on this team is better than I expected, that's for sure.
Is Amon healthy? Do you think he's fully healthy, or do you think it's a confidence thing at this point?
I think it's both. I think, you know, and I'm not in the training room, and, you know, I don't want to be unfair to him, but, you know, I think about, you know, 2015 with, like, Stacey Coley.
Yeah,
he had some nagging injuries, and it just kind of snowballed on him. And, you know, obviously there's parallel there, them both being true sophomores. But, You know, I think Amon is, I think he'll be fine. I don't know if it's going to happen, you know, this week or if it's going to happen, you know, I mean, ideally for Miami, it would happen in the, you know, in a championship game, but, I think he'll be okay, but he's definitely fighting it right now with the hamstring. He knew that was something that, that he'd have to deal with all year.
Your as we let you go, your expectations tonight, the rankings come out tonight. Miami, you know, I would assume got to be at least three, probably maybe two. If they're anywhere else, I would be totally shocked. But the Matt Porter, I guess your beacon, you're looking at it tonight. Where is Miami tonight? After tonight?
Well, I think they'll be either two or three, and I would put them at two because, and here's why: everybody was so high on Notre Dame, and if you're saying we think Notre Dame is legit, we think this team is really good. They've got a Heisman running back. They've got the best offensive line in the country. Brandon Wimbush is making plays. They can shut down most everybody on defense. And I don't care that it's a road game for them. They got absolutely demolished in every single way by Miami. So if you're telling me, you know, and it's not just, and that's not Miami's only win either. It's not a fluke. I mean, they did the same thing to Virginia Tech. They're undefeated. They're a Power 5 team. They played a Power 5 schedule. I think some of the metrics that they're looking at, like ESPN strength of record. I'm not even sure, honestly, if that's something that they look at. But, I mean, they kind of have to. I mean, Miami, you know, the ESPN is saying other teams would have a 7% chance of going undefeated against Miami's record, you know, schedule. You know, I mean, it's a holistic thing at this point. I mean, everybody should agree that Miami is good because of the teams they've beaten. So I don't know if the committee is, thinking highly of Oklahoma because of Oklahoma's offense, and that is a scary offense. I wouldn't want to go up against Baker Mayfield, in a one game scenario, but maybe that could push Oklahoma ahead, but that's a one loss team. I mean, Miami's undefeated. They've done it. They should be number two.
Matt Porter from the Palm Beach Post joining us. We appreciate your time, Matt. Don't be a stranger. We're going to steal you away from Hawk and Crowder more.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good to me.
All right, Matt, we'll speak to you soon. Good to talk to you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.